The following episode of Footy Prime the Podcast contains violence, coarse language, talking of shite, full frontal nudity, and adult scenes. Listener discretion is advised.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor,
Andy, Jim, and JC.
All we know and all we talk about is
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
Essie's confirmed an injury. So they've rescheduled the Puerto Rico friendly. Like, who else in the world gets a match rescheduled? Because it just shows the importance. I think it's quite interesting, right? Quite funny. And then promise. So, yeah, we've got lots. But the first things first, you've got to talk about Warner's morning.
Yeah.
It was something. Last night, I slept over at my significant other's and made sure I was all ready to be prepared to come on the show this morning. We are recording at 8 a.m. for all of you footy primers to tell you what we put ourselves through, correct?
You want a gold star for recording at 8 a.m.?
Yes, I do.
It's only half an hour earlier than usual.
What are you talking about? You're the queen of gold stars. You want a gold star for everything.
Didn't get a gold medal.
Did you see my thumb?
No, I didn't.
No, I'm just saying, like, that's me on the dark web looking for approval and gold stars.
So I set my alarm to go off at 7 o'clock, 7 a.m. It's a 15-minute ride. I just get up and go. Well, first things first, I guess I didn't set my alarm off. So it's 7:27. I'm like tearing out of bed. Tass is sitting there going, what's wrong? I go, it's 7:30. She goes, oh my God. Okay. You going to make it? No problem. Go downstairs, get dressed. 2 minutes. I'm downstairs. My keys, my car keys, nowhere to be found. I'm looking, check all over the house. Tass's friend dropped by last night. And I think she took them on the way out. So I had no keys this morning.
Were you playing the car key game?
Were they in the fishbowl?
And I got lucky 4 times. So I was in an Uber. I looked around for about 20 minutes. Couldn't find it. Realized quickly that I was going to miss the podcast. I do have keys in my mailbox for getting in the house, and I have an extra set of car keys.
Wait. They're always in the mailbox.
46 Osler. Yes.
They're always in the mailbox. Always. That's where you hide your keys.
Well, they're not hidden. That's where I place them. There.
This is a guy who had his car broken into last week, but he didn't lock the door. And he also keeps his spare key in the mailbox. Wonger, you not see the problem here.
Yes, people shouldn't do the wrong thing. But what is the problem?
You live downtown Toronto, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a bit of a history of burglaries and break-ins. And you're basically leaving your door wide open saying, come on in, boys. Help
I'm
yourself.
Not going to change my attitude or the way I live my life for the chance.
Maybe make better decisions.
All right. But here's my trivia question of the day.
Oh.
Who wrote the book of Mice and Men? Because the best laid plans of Mice and Men. That's what I went through this morning.
I probably won't guess this by the end of the show, but I do know who it is.
I
but you never know.
Coming to me.
That's why
such
I did
a great
it.
Book.
Mm-hmm.
Great book.
Yeah. Maybe it's time for a reread. Do you do that? Do you ever reread books?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you ever read a book and then realize 3/4 of the way through, I've read this book before? I've done that.
No.
Recently I did that.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
Helen, what was your state of mind once you had that realization?
Is this dementia? Is it concussion related? Was I just on gummies when I read it the first time? All of
the whole book on gummies the whole time.
You were triple guessing why Lance Armstrong isn't your hero anymore?
Yeah. So weird.
Oh, he had cancer. Oh, he never cheated.
But it's great, right? I mean, not to make fun of dementia, because I understand you guys are both struggled through it with family members, right? But hey, we joke about everything, right? I guess the upside is that you can reread books and watch movies again and you're enjoying it twice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or 3 times or 4 times.
And right? You can forget that you were mean the next day. Like anything, like you're basically forgiven every single day for any bad behavior. You are going to heaven. It's like saying, I believe in Jesus Christ if you're a Christian. And asking for forgiveness.
No matter what. Yeah. No, you do what you want, and that the Golden Gate say, hey, by the way, sorry about those murders. Welcome. Come on in.
You're good.
Yeah, you're good.
You've repented.
Get it in.
Come on in. You know, it gave me a really good laugh the other day. I sent it in the dark web, and it was a sign on a cross, and it was Jesus across the horizontal part and then cares on the vertical part. So it looked like it said Jesus scares. And so he's like, oh my God, Jesus, stop doing that to me. You're the worst.
Scary, and though.
I just remembered Steinbeck.
There you go. Thank you.
Right, this is like Steinbeck. Required school reading.
Yes, it
I
was.
Think of Mice and Men, I enjoyed, but I preferred Grapes of Wrath and The Pearl. The Pearl was one of my favorite books, I think, in high school.
What about The Odyssey?
Or The Iliad? No.
That was university reading.
Well, you know, Josephine, she's just started, will be this year, tackling Shakespeare for the first time.
Oh.
Right? Love Shakespeare.
And she already hates it. And I'm saying, but it's actually a beautiful story. It's incredible writing. She doesn't appreciate that. She's 15 years old. But it got me thinking, like, at what point is it irrelevant? And we can modernize the reading curriculum at high school. There's classics being written every day that you don't know are classics until they become classics.
I see what you're saying.
You know, can they? I mean, please, someone out there, some listener who knows, who's far more intelligent than me, please let me know. And I'm not saying we shouldn't be reading Shakespeare. I like Shakespeare. But is there a point where it's time to move on, evolve?
Maybe not just move on, just add to the compendium, right? Add to that list of what is now considered a classic, like Lance Armstrong's story.
Yeah. And then let's be honest. exactly. Which one?
He's repented. Come through the gates.
The Armstrong books.
No, not you.
Books.
Sit down.
They really are. Until you find out he lied throughout them.
But maybe that's what's so interesting about the whole thing.
Yeah.
Now, in retrospect, that epilogue at the end, it'd be like written by a real journalist or something. And it'd be, okay, here you read this. And it's all about spin and all that kind of thing and how you can get people believing your lie. Because I think he's one of those guys. He's a narcissist sociopath who believes his own lies. I never tested positive. I don't know what you're talking. I never pressured other. I never ruined careers.
All he should do is republish him with one page at the end, just saying in capital letters, gotcha.
The Lance Armstrong story by Richard Bachman.
It's no, fiction. Not yeah, make it.
Stephen well, King. Sharps is going, who's Richard Bachman?
Yeah, I am. Okay.
That's who's Stephen Richard King's Bachman? Alternate. It's his non-de-pen or whatever.
Yeah.
What? Oh, really?
Pseudonym, no? Or your
pseudonym,
ghost?
Yeah, but they call it nom de silo or something like that.
Okay. Nom de plume.
Nom de plume, merci.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Sharms is like, what's happening? I do, Sharms, you really made me laugh in the dark web because Wangra's like, 8 a.m. tomorrow, right? He wrote this yesterday, and I was like, oui, and Wangra wrote back, merci, and you wrote salle de bain.
It's the one French word I know. Was it three French words? I'm not sure.
Three.
Where we're going with this? Back to the high school compendium. Not to beat a dead horse here, but the whole Shakespearean ideal. Many books are based on that, on those concepts.
Yeah.
Right. Like Romeo and Juliet's been done a million times. Mm-hmm. Right. In different capacities. Right. So anyway, we're talking about sports here, aren't we? And specifically soccer. Thomas Tuchel re-ups with England through the World Cup, through Euro 2028, which I found interesting simply because there's been so much debate about Jesse Marsh. Should he or shouldn't he? Should Canada soccer not? You know, let's see what he does. And then you see England do it with Thomas Tuchel, and suddenly it's acceptable and understandable, even though really it should have been anyway. But is that... Do you think some people's mindsets, is it easier for Canada soccer to sell this a re-up because it's being done elsewhere?
Yes.
By established football nations?
Mm-hmm. Yes, because we almost seek that approval outside the confines of our country and our sport. look for others to lead the way consistently as Canadians. Rian's always talked about this relative to a women's professional soccer league, that Canadians are fearful of innovating, of being creative, of doing something first. You might have the good ideas, but you wait for someone else to do it. And sometimes it's to do with the infrastructure, or it's to do with the funding and the investment. But I think to do with soccer, and we talk about our need and our want to becoming a footballing nation, this is part of it. Fucking just do something our way first. And it's okay because it suits us. And you deal with the noise after the fact, but you do it because it's the right thing to do, not because someone else has done it and paved the way. So now it's okay for us to do it.
I'd agree with that. Yeah.
It'd be refreshing, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting because I did revisit our Jesse Marsh. Should Canada Soccer resign, as he brought up the contract? And we on this, Jimmy, I think was a late round. Pardon?
I said he's a late bloomer.
A late bloomer to the right side. No, but he was the last one to kind of say, he gave a lot of reasons not to.
Yeah.
But he did say, you know, I think Jesse's earned the stability of what a contract delivers to not only a coach, to a person, right? Like, we know what it does is allows you to take risks, not to feel like you're judged on every next game or every next tournament, which gives you a 3-6 month, 9 month, 3-5 year plan, right? All of a sudden you can initiate things that you may not have been able to do earlier. And this goes into business. It goes into coaching, anything around. And the majority of comments, and I think it was, I remember there were plenty of comments, even compared to the views, that most people said, hey, let's get on the Jesse train. So,
you know what? You can also write a clause in the contract saying, if the World Cup's an unmitigated disaster, we have outs here. Now, whether he'd agree to that or not, on both sides, though, you could do that. There could be clauses. Mm-hmm. Say, we've re-upped you for 2 more years to the Gold Cup, say. But if you crash out going winless in the World Cup, we have got an out. Right?
Yeah, but Canada's would be 3 years. No, the Canadian contract.
I think it makes sense to lock him up, to have security for a guy who I think aligns really well, like the identity that he espouses, what he's done. We talked about the friendly being announced, like the send-off game in Montreal, and to get all of these communities involved to build that momentum at home. You add that to what he's done in the dual national recruitment with Owen Goodman and Alfie Jones, Nico Seguir, Tanny Alouachet, Promise David, Marcelo Flores, the recent one, because it went through yesterday that it's official now that he's filed his one-time switch to play for Canada. Just on the merit of that, just off the back of those two things, I think you re-sign him. And people are saying, no, he's unproven. Let's wait and see how he does at a major tournament. No, lock him up now just based on that and then build on it. And then, yeah, you maybe have to live with the consequences of underperformance or crashing out, as Sharm said, unmitigated disaster, potentially at the Men's World Cup that's upcoming. But I think you can reconcile that. You can deal with the risk because I think he has proven himself in other realms that we should be convinced. Go. Yes, sign him.
Dubs, didn't he have a pretty decent Copa America?
Yeah.
Isn't Copa America a pretty important tournament? Mm-hmm. In fact, it's bigger than the Gold Cup, which was a disappointment.
Yep.
But you could say, well, yeah, there's some unfortunate red cards in that one. So when people say he's unproven at big tournaments, well, he's not really. That Copa America experience was freaking incredible in the game in this country. We couldn't believe what we were saying. And don't people start breaking down game. Well, they drew here and they lost. No, they got deep into the Copa America, playing a really attractive brand of football.
Mm-hmm. What gives people pause, sorry, Sharms, is the Guatemala result.
Yes.
That's in the Gold Cup. There's no plan B. That is what the default is when we talk about the drawbacks, the negatives to Jesse Marsh. He can play one style only, and he's unwilling to adapt.
Yep. Anyway, Thomas Tuchel has set the table for a smooth pre-World Cup announcement. for the Jesse Marsh extension, which I'm pretty confident will happen personally.
Same.
I was on the tweet machine and someone had shared the lineup for England and Tuchel's lineup that he's going to be that's going to be available to him.
Don't do it.
There's no reason. There's no reason England shouldn't win this World Cup.
Don't do it.
Did I do it?
Do you know how many times I've heard this before World Cups? Every World Cup. Have you seen England? But
they look brilliant on paper, don't they? Like, yeah. It's incredible.
Every single World Cup.
Every World Cup. But they're really exciting. And he's a really good coach. And he seems to have got this team really figured out. When he's prepared to drop Jude Bellingham, it shows the confidence he has in his own ability and the swagger as the manager. And I still think Jude was going to be starting at the World Cup, but he might not. Morgan Rogers looks fantastic, and that team looks better with him in the lineup, quite honestly. So we'll see what he does. But yeah, there's Spain, there's Germany, there's France, Argentina, of course. Then you got England. It's going to be one of them, I think, that wins this thing. I'm probably missing out one really obvious one.
Brazil?
Yeah, I'm not.
No?
No.
The US of A?
France?
You said France.
You said France? Sorry, I didn't. You said France.
Yeah, but I think it's going to be out of them. Mm. Anyway, I'm getting kind of giddy. The excitement is going to percolate. And I'm going to be brokenhearted. But nowadays, I'm fortunate because I've got Canada, I got an England, I got two chances.
You also have a bit of a Scotland, right? If you need,
I would
tertiary.
Love to see them go deep. Yeah, 100%. It'd be great. But
things you
as
also
England
hear.
Fan, number one, or you know, if I remove my Canadianism here, as a born and raised Englishman, despite having a Scottish family, I can't really support Scotland because they don't support England at all. It's a great rivalry, put it that way. But yeah, of course, it'd be great to see him go far. Shall we get to the comment we got yesterday right now?
Sure, but before we do that, you'd really love to see them go deep. Another term that could be easily used in the bedroom or on the pitch.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I was thinking about this last night. The ball is so wet.
who would say that in the bedroom though? Like, really? I mean, that would
once
be
again,
a
this is
killer.
Specifically for Craig. Killer? It's only for Craig, and there's one ball floating around.
Can you put the sprinklers on?
Jeez, I regret going down this road. Before we move on, I also wanted to ask you, James Charman, as an England fan.
You got me
as well.
James, that was weird there for a minute. Then, sorry.
I know. So you like the Tuchel signing, or like the extension to 2028? Do you think there's anybody in England who's a big, like a passionate fan who does not like the idea of Tuchel on for longer?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I've heard some read a couple of stories from renowned journalists saying, listen, they did this with Fabio Capello and it didn't work out at all.
Right.
At all well. There's still a lot of people over there who can't stomach the thought of having a German running England. Now, listen, I personally, you play within the rules you're given, right? But personally, I do believe in a perfect world, a national team is from that country, from the players to the coaches to the staff. England is England, Canada's Canada, in a perfect world. But we don't live in that. And I'm fine with the coaching staff. If you can get more out of your team through a foreign coaches, whatever. I've got over it, but I really do understand that. So, yes, there's people upset.
Interesting.
But they
there always up. Is, right?
Shut up. Yeah. Mm. Always.
Breaking news. Miranda has your keys. She is sending a PA to drive them to my house now. She feels terrible. And I'm like,
he feels terrible.
Because I felt gaslit by myself, right? Like, I felt this morning was a bit of a twilight zone where you're like, I know I put my keys there. Why are my keys not there?
Then Tassie doubted you, didn't she?
Pardon me?
100% she did.
Yeah.
Like, sure, Dan, you know what you did last night, of course. I guess you did drive there, right? So they're somewhere between the car and the house, unless they were removed from the house, right?
Well, the other thing is I'm blocking in Tassie's car, so she can't go anywhere either. Like it was a domino effect of how
it's a calamity of errors.
It was. It was.
So, almost Shakespearean.
Almost. That'd be amazing. What let's revamp Shakespeare. Danneth, wongeth, and the carkieth.
If all you do is put TH on it, yes. That's all that's Shakespearean.
I might throw some D and some olds with an E on the end.
Here yes.
Right. So and I love Wonger Shakespeare.
Would play Miranda, and Miranda would play Wonger. That would also be very Shakespearean. That's
King Lear. Yeah, there's a little King Lear-ish, yeah.
Well, by the way, I can connect Shakespeare with soccer here.
All right, do it.
There's where's Shakespeare from again? He's from what's it?
Like what town?
Yeah, what town? It's
something on the sea or whatever. Is that the one?
Why can't I think of it now? Anyway, they got a football team, and when traveling fans go down to play,
Stratford.
Go to play Stratford. One of the common chants is Shakespeare was a pedo.
And now we can't use this part for YouTube.
That's right. We have to.
Okay. That was that 2040.
You get 2,000 traveling supporters chanting that.
It's pretty good.
Lovely. All right, Wonga, we've got this comment. We've got more to get to. I'm going to get some Messi later on, by the way. And also Sean Dyche was fired. And also a boy promised David. Beautiful goal yesterday. But let's get to this comment.
Who's pulling it up? You Dubs?
No, it's loaded in.
You didn't load it in?
No.
This probably won't be part of YouTube. I think the YouTube part should probably be the Tuchel Marsh, personally. So this we don't need to have the visuals up necessarily.
All right.
Maybe we do. I don't know. But just read it.
Yeah, I'll load it in.
This is why you have things called pre-production meetings in TV.
Mm-hmm.
Not in podcasts, apparently. You know what? If Jimmy or Craig were here, they would have done it for us.
Okay, I've just got it on the dark web. So I'll just read it out.
Yeah, just read it out.
It won't take too long. Okay. So this is from Chefman7127 on YouTube. How the heck is playing Tunisia and Ireland going to get eyes on the team? The only city that will have good atmosphere is Montreal. These games are terrible. Are y'all being paid by the CSA? Genuine question, not hating. All of my casual soccer fans will not be tuning in or buying tickets for these games. You know this. If it was England, Germany, Portugal, Spain, then yes, people would come out and watch. No one will care or come out to watch Uzbekistan at Edmonton, especially if the Oilers are still playing.
All right. So I don't take it as hating on us, just for the record. I appreciate the comment. I appreciate where you're coming from. But I think it's a real example of the old school Canadian soccer fan who doesn't quite get where we're at now. And that we don't care about the traveling support and the big star names. We want to conjure support in the stands for our team, for Canada. And I think that's where we're at right now. These games will be sold out. And there's going to be a large contingent of Irish fans and fans from other countries. That's just the way we are in this country, right? The way we're put together. But there's going to be a lot of red in those stands. And that's where we're at. That's the most important thing. It's not about satisfying the Eurocentric England fan living over here. That's not why you put on games anymore.
Was that your first response? Thought it was an old England school fan. Hey?
England fan. Probably.
You did, eh? Okay.
It could have been a Portuguese fan. Could have been an Italian fan. To say that there's no interest in soccer unless there's a big name out there now, I think is so 1990s, even 2010s. It's changed. This game has changed here. That was my thought. I thought it's very naive and arrogant, which is exactly how the old school football fan within Canada thought about the international game.
Did you say his name, Dubs, when you read this?
I did.
Okay. Just
if his real name is indeed Chef Man.
7127.
<He's christened.
laughs> His parents are Mr. and Mrs. 7127.
His dad is Mario Batali. Yeah, that was my feeling as well. Well, it was a couple of expletives. And then also this is old guard. And what do you call, you know, the kind of the hard men, the plastic men? I think kind of
hard or plastic. Plastic is you get a plastic fan who's not really a fan, But then you get the plastic hard man who pretends he's hard. Like some certain TFC ultras are plastic hard men.
I see. Okay. So, yeah, I think this is part of the old guard. Again, going back to our initial discussion, like looking for approval and validation based on the opponents that we're able to secure versus being, I hesitate to use the word true fan because fans can come in all shapes and sizes and passion and commitment and everybody's welcome, right? I think this is an important point to make that it's an inclusive space now to be a Canadian soccer fan, whether you support the men's team or the women's team, or it should be at least in the stands, but also on the message boards and in all the fan groups. But this is somebody here who's got it fucking twisted. If you're a fan, of our national team, you are there to support the national team. You're there to support Canada, regardless of who the opponent is. And it really kind of riled me up because I know these people exist, but it pissed me off. That is not a true fan.
You missed the whole point too, that the big teams weren't going to come here. Right? They weren't going to come here.
No.
You know, it would have been Canada playing in Florida or somewhere or going to Europe. The whole point was Canada Soccer wanted to have the send-off games and matches in Canada to grow the hype before a World Cup, which makes complete sense. England, France, they weren't going to come to Toronto or Montreal. That wasn't an option.
I had the same reaction as Dubs. One, Chef Man, thank you for getting Dubs riled, because we know how difficult that is. Well.
Again, we also know it doesn't take much.
It does not take much. You spelled Tunisia wrong there, Chef Man.
Yeah.
So that's what bothered me. But he uses the no offense where he says, these games are terrible. Are y'all paid by the CSA? Genuine question, not hating. Just because you called someone an asshole and then apologized for it 2 seconds later, and it doesn't mean you didn't call them an asshole.
Are you saying that he's questioning our integrity?
Yeah, that's exactly what he meant.
Yeah, it's my favorite. Actually, it's like, no offense.
I like that part. I like that you questioned my integrity. Mm.
Listen, there's only one person on this podcast right now that has been paid by the CSA, and 8 Mia Wonger.
Yeah.
And she hasn't been paid for a long time.
Yeah, that's true.
And those matches,
when I wasn't paid much.
There's sporadic responses to us, Sharms.
Sorry?
The CSA sporadic responses, cryptic sporadic responses.
Yeah, exactly. By the way, CSA, you can pay us. I'm more than happy to work for you. Yes. I'm putting it out there. I am available. I'm a free agent, okay? You can, but right now you haven't paid me ever. Dubs, how much were you paid to play? Do you remember what your match fees were?
No, I can't. But we had to negotiate really arduously in order to get more than just like a lump sum compensation for major tournaments. It wasn't until the later, like closer to the Olympics, 2007 World Cup, 2008 Olympics, and where we had something established in our contract that we got a certain amount per game. And usually that was only in major competitions or qualifications.
So, but you were paid a match fee for friendlies, though, something, a stipend of some sort.
No.
Presumably. Nothing at all?
No.
Nothing?
No. The men were, yeah.
Wow. I know there's a big disconnect between the men and women back when you played enormously, and that's changed now. I didn't realize you didn't get anything. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Even like just to say, hey, it's $50, thanks. Right? Like,
nope.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
No wonder you're all pissed off and bitter.
I know. No wonder I'm so tightly wound. But I wanted to read something. This is Martin Ziegler on X. And this is to do with UEFA's president, Alexander Seferin, opposing clubs playing domestic matches abroad. Okay, so it's maybe apples to oranges a little bit, but I think the sentiment applies here in Canada Soccer really pushing to play these home games, right? To try to grow momentum and build towards the World Cup. So this is Seferin's quote. He says, how do you build identity? How do you sustain local passion if you trade it away?
Yeah.
I think it's a pretty apt description of what we're trying to do in the country. So we're talking club game to the international game, but this perfectly describes what we're trying to establish at home.
Yeah.
Our social media manager yesterday used your quote of a requote, but it was, if you can see it, you can be it. Mm-hmm. I live that. I didn't know what I was going to be in life. I still don't know. But it's all of these experiences. No, I still, like, in 5 years, I could be working on the railroad. Me and Steinbeck. Letty. I could be Letty. You could be killing me for rabbits.
Yeah, you're such a Lenny. You're such a Lenny.
You're more Lenny than Lenny, actually.
Yeah. But initially, I was lucky enough to go to a high school that was a bilingual program, that I went to school with a bunch of kids whose parents were ambassadors, were MPs. It showed me that you could live a certain life and with education and move forward. Then I went to McGill, had the same experience. Don't let your experiences box you in. There's always more things out there. Playing sports, oh, I was okay at sports. That led me to that level. And so all of these experiences keep allowing me to readapt, reinvent. You know, I was a TV producer. I was a sales guy. I was in marketing. Now we own a podcast, Canada's number one independent podcast. Ooh. What the hell is going on, right? And it's because you don't be afraid of doing things. You just do them and you know, learn from that.
Have you seen these lists of people that became extremely successful later in life?
Colonel Sanders.
See, there's still hope. What's that?
Colonel Sanders.
Yeah, no, exactly.
He's my fave because I dress up as him for Halloween. People got to see my Colonel Sanders. Oh, yeah.
You do. It's the beard, isn't it?
It is.
But yeah, I love those lists. It's like, oh, there's still hope.
It's true.
There's no reason why you
can't. Lance Armstrong, later in life.
Yeah, exactly right. he became famous early in life, but then became infamous later in life.
That's right.
It can't be done, right? So I love those because there is no reason why you can't reinvent yourself at any age.
That's right.
But you can't do that if you're closed-minded. You have to stay curious and open to discussion and changing your mind and being wrong, right?
Admitting that. But the trouble is, the older you get, the more narrow-minded you often become.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there is the grumpy man, old man syndrome. It's real. I have some friends that I'm like, dude, you're 55. Just keep doing different things. Yeah. But they're now in a place where life hasn't beaten them down. It's showed them a certain way, and that's what they're comfortable in. They're comfortable in their own sauce, which is great. But there's bechamel. There's a wine sauce.
Colonel Sanders again? You're loving this analogy, aren't you?
11 different flavors and spices. 11 different spices. I love Colonel Sanders. That guy can really make chicken. He lived in Mississauga at some point. Did you know that?
Did he?
I did not know that. Really?
Yeah. Yep, there's another, I don't know if he became a Canadian citizen.
Wasn't there some rumor he was...
Say the word.
A racist? Part of the Klan?
He's from Kentucky. I'm sure he was.
But I'm not sure it's being validated. I don't think it's true, but there's one of those things that get out there. Maybe it is. I don't know.
We're going to have to look
also
that
he
up.
Was accused of murder. Do you remember that?
Was he?
Yeah.
I never remember that.
Colonel Sanders. No, Colonel Sanders in the parlor with a candlestick.
She played us, sharks. Clue. She's going back. What was the game that you clue?
Oh, sorry. Colonel Mustard. Sorry about that.
He also played for the Detroit Lions, didn't he? Oh, no, it's Deion Sanders. He didn't. I'm thinking of Barry Sanders. Barry Sanders.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Jesus.
And also, everyone, we know their chef band that maybe we're a little defensive and harsh with you, but please keep sending in these comments that ignite Dubs's ire. Mm-hmm. It's fantastic. There's nothing like Dubs overreacting to a comment. It has now become one of my favorite things. I tried to diminish it with a reminder, Sharms, just so people know, Sharms and I would say, hey, and specifically me, but Sharms would go, yeah, you really shouldn't read those comments. Now I'm like, you read those comments, lady. You do it. You do it, girl. You go, girl.
I will also shout out Jethro 1963 and Cephalopods, who chimed in with a similar angle and opinion as we just gave here in the pod. Okay. But it sparked some discussion, so keep commenting.
Listen, Chef Man, at least as presumably being a chef, he can reinvent the sauce that he lives in. Right?
Gross.
Just to follow a phrase from Wonga here. There's many sauces you can try.
Now I feel like
wet his whistle or his ball.
I want to get a bucket today.
I know. I can eat a whole bucket.
Just eat the skin.
Oh, so good. Delicious. There's that Friends where Joey goes, hey, does anybody want the chicken? Yeah, so he's been eating the skin out of a bucket.
I love their side salads too. Their mac and cheese, their mac salad is delicious.
Very good.
Really good, yeah.
Yeah.
We should get sponsored.
Tastes like chemicals.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's fine.
They must do some vegan stuff now, right?
Do they do vegan stuff?
No, they don't.
Well, it's not being cooked in a vegan facility.
Yeah, it's chicken. They gave you chicken. That's vegan for us carnivores.
It's not really an animal, the chicken, is it? Let's be honest.
Oh, stop it.
Oh, come on.
A sentient being. So? Yes, it is.
It's just an organism running around.
If it's lucky. Mm-hmm.
Fair enough. Battery chickens aren't so lucky. Mm-hmm.
No, mm-hmm. Awful.
God, the topics we covered. Jesus Christ. Okay. So Sean Dyche fired. Mm-hmm. That's three different coaches, three firings in one season from Forest. That's crazy. And yesterday's draw, they drew, right? Like the numbers, they should have won that game. Their XG was 2.53.
That's
massive. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. I feel bad for Sean Dyche, just like I felt sorry for Big Ange Postecoglou, who got fired as well, and Nuno. Nuno's fallen back on his feet, kind of, with West Ham. Mm-hmm. But do you think, because he gets so many firings this season for Forest, is Dyche's reputation tarnished? Is Ange's reputation tarnished from that experience, playing for that club, which... It's just got. We need Jimmy on today, don't we, to discuss Forest?
Yes, we really do.
He can look so good sometimes, and then so bad.
Mm-hmm.
I think he kind of is like a little dark area. You can just black it out. This season doesn't count for Forest and these managers because they're obviously good managers.
I just worry about, you know, from a management's perspective and the players there. Like, you must be reeling, right? You're going to have a fourth manager in one single season. Like, that's mental. So I think you obviously need a bump, but like, you can't keep kind of conjuring that new manager bump over and over again. Like, eventually it's going to take a mental toll, not only on the fans, but on the players in that room. Right. Mm-hmm. So I think they're in talks now with Pereira.
Yeah. Vitor Pereira, right? Former Wolves coach.
Yeah.
He was right. You know, works since.
Mm-hmm. Who, I mean,
works Sean at Dyche. Dick's Sporting Goods. I think I heard.
Sean Dyche makes his home in Nottingham, right? So apparently he'd been, you know, mingling with the fans and grabbing a pint here and there. But I didn't know much about Pereira, but I remembered him at Wolves. And apparently he endeared himself to the fan base doing the same thing. And like it coined a saying, first the points and then the pints. So he's also a guy who does well with the fans. Yeah, but I mean, if they need a change of culture and that bump that a new manager will provide, they'll get it short term and they need it. But can that be sustained? Nothing shows me that it can.
Yeah, I know. It's a team though that they just look good in the Premier League. That name is such a historical name. It's brilliant.
Mm-hmm. I just wanted to go through the bottom six right now. Five, sorry. Wolves at the bottom. They're done. Burnley, it's not looking good. So the 18th is West Ham with 24 points, Forest with 27, and Tottenham with 29. Leeds looks okay at 30. They've all played 26 matches, so they're all just a little through two-thirds of the season.
Leeds also more. Play a brand that the fans love, attractive brand of football, so they can almost be in that periphery and the fans still are still behind the coach. And still
who, Leeds, are you saying?
Leeds, yeah.
Yeah.
They're fun to watch.
No, Leeds are fun to watch. You're absolutely right.
Promise. Do you see this goal? Have you seen it yet?
Yes, saw it.
Shared it. Social media manager shared it.
What was it, within 10 seconds or something?
Yeah.
It was early, right off a kickoff. It's crazy.
Yeah, they love him there. Mm-hmm. And what a story. He's becoming kind of the story this season, isn't he, for Canadian footballers? He's probably having the best season, isn't he? Out of any Canadian footballer? You think about, Fonzie's just back from injury. John Davis taking time to adjust at Juve, but playing well now. Mustakio moved. Johnson injured. Bambido injured. Cornelius injured.
Tejan's doing Kone, well.
Tejan's doing really well. Kone's doing really well.
Mm-hmm. Apparently interest from some clubs, like big clubs, Inter.
Kone?
Yeah.
Or already? Oh, I haven't seen that. Okay. He's certainly one of the stories for sure.
Ali. It's the only other person I can say is Ali, but you tell me, where would the Belgium League, Royal Saint-Union, like
Union Saint-Gilloise.
Saint-Gilloise. Where does Belgium League rank compared to English League second, like EFL?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I don't know either. Yeah. But I will just say, like, the Belgian League is renowned for a springboard for players to play, to get their feet, to get the reps, if you're a striker, to fill the net, to do things, replicate things, and then grow your game and then make the leap to the Prem or make the leap to La Liga, or go to a Serie A, go to a bigger league, go to Bundesliga, right? So I would say it's probably slightly ahead of the championship.
Yeah, it's a top flight league, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And you're going to see a player move from Belgium for a lot of money, right? When Union sell him, he'll go for good money. But whoever it is, you can see massive deals to the Prem, to Germany from Belgium. You're not going to see massive deals in the league championship to other teams. There'll be deals in place, obviously, but you're going up a step. So you can't say I'm paying £100 million for a player who's dominating the league championship. That ain't going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that would happen in Belgium, but it'd be a lot closer.
Yeah, the social media manager shared the goal last night, and Poop Gatsby, who I love his name. He's got to be Canadian, and the only reason I say this is because he says, "What a piss missile!"
that is a great phrase.
I'm like, I don't know what that means, but I think I know what it means.
Yeah. It's like a thunderfucker.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Poop Gatsby, great Gatsby, another great movie. Another classic.
Yeah.
Good movie too, actually.
Fitzgerald. You liked the movie?
Yeah, it's all right. I did enjoy it.
Did you see the original? Right?
Leo? I think I have. Who was in
the original? I found neither the original, but it was Robert Redford who played the Leo character in the original.
Mm-hmm. Maybe I didn't see
Robert Redford.
Yeah. I just watched The Natural the other day, so that's why too.
He's dead.
I find myself watching a lot of shows over and over.
Did he die last year? Or was it Paul Newman? I get Paul Newman and Robert Redford mixed up.
Really?
Are they both dead?
Yeah, they're both dead. But Robert Redford just died.
It was Robert Redford. Okay. My mom loved him. Big crush. Him and Cliff Thorburn.
Oh, really?
Those are crushes. Yeah. Snooker player.
Yeah.
Your brother.
Drank 86 pints a game.
No, that's Bill Wibernick.
Who's the Dorito dust? Because that's my favorite snooker moment. The protester.
That was the oil protesters is what that was. Pretty amazing.
He's my fave then. But I just pulled up the Opta. I mean, there are the number of outlets that do it, that they rank the leagues.
Mm-hmm.
So tops is the Prem. Then it's Serie A, Bundesliga, La Liga, Ligue 1. They've got the championship slotting in sixth, and right below them is the Belgian Pro League.
How do they rank?
So those? I would say with coefficients, I imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Interesting.
So it's average team ratings. So overall, then you've got top 10, top 5, ranking change, I imagine, playing in Champions League, Europa League, that type of thing will affect your standing and your coefficients. But yeah, they're basically interchangeable.
That's great, because then we can say Promise is having an amazing season, period. Not just, hey, I'm in the Croatian league and he was bossing it. Now it's, you know, oh, I know I'm not going to get the vitriol of the Croatians.
But no, I know what you're saying. Listen, Belgium's a legitimately good league and he's dominating for the second straight season.
Yeah.
So I suspect he won't be there next year. It's time to move on this summer, especially if he gets the World Cup behind him.
Yeah, and because it was a story, remember, when he extended his contract at Union Saint-Gilloise, because everybody expected him to go somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. I guarantee you part of those conversations were, re-sign with us, give us another year, and then we'll move you on next summer for a massive profit.
Well,
it serves the club well, as in addition to serving Promise well.
He really enjoyed how he was being treated there. And I have to be like, that would be a huge thing as a young athlete over in a country where it's not his first language, French and Flemish. And all of a sudden he said he spent so much time at the training grounds because it's like, it's got everything he needs and including his cereal, which he loves.
Lives there like Tom Hanks in that movie at the airport. Yes,
exactly.
The Terminal.
Thank you for naming it instead of just throwing out that movie and making it sound like.
I forget names.
I like when you actually 360 it and give us.
Also, a classic book that I read in high school.
It is not.
No, it's not.
By William Shakespeare.
But that would be interesting though. Like, to your point, what is what's an 80s or 90s book that is now a classic, right?
Trainspotting.
Ooh.
I'm reading Over the Rangers, most recent right now, actually.
Great cinematography, like an amazing film.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. Mm.
I actually just read this morning. It's funny you mentioned how that came up. I read it was on Facebook or somewhere. Someone posted a letter that Irvin Welsh wrote to the screenplay, to the guy that did the screenplay for the movie, and saying how much he really enjoyed it, but then broke down the one issue I have is how you, in the screenplay, the original screenplay, how you dealt with the characters. And how they were kind of came across in the screenplay originally as these kind of like university kids, you know, rapscallions, as opposed to Edinburgh Leith side schemies, you know, just on the subculture of the drug world. And obviously the screenwriter listened to what Irvin Welsh said, because you watch the movie and that really comes across, except for Renton, they're schemies. From the scheme, right?
Yeah.
It's really interesting, that was.
I never heard the term schemey before, but I like it.
Yeah.
I think you've riled up Dubs by using that word.
No, I just was intrigued by it.
Read Irvin Welsh is
Danny Boyle was the director, and Danny Boyle also did Slumdog Millionaire. But he's also did 28 Days Later. All of those movies are fantastic. He's one of my favorite directors too.
He did the opening ceremonies to the London Olympics.
That's right.
And it's brilliant.
Yeah.
Even when the Queen jumped out the plane and parachuted down.
Oh, I love that. When her gown went over her head.
Yeah. I don't think it was actually her. I'm not sure though. It was. I think Daniel Craig was with her, right? James Bond. Didn't he jump out the plane with her?
Oh, I love Daniel Craig.
He's great. He's great. He'd be a really good James Bond.
Good idea. I can't believe I don't want to ruin someone if they haven't watched the last James Bond.
You can't believe what? You better finish.
Watch the last James Bond, and then you'll say, "I can't believe they did that."
I've watched them for years.
Yes.
Yeah. Listen, get back to football. This Leo Messi thing. So this is just coming from Marca. Lionel Messi confirmed a minor injury and the Puerto Rico friendly has been rescheduled. He even apologized directly to the fans. So I think Miami's playing a friendly against Puerto Rico. And because Messi's hurt, they're going to reschedule the match. There's no one else in world sport, I don't think, that has that power.
No.
Or does it tell you more about Inter Miami and that no one cares about them apart from Lionel Messi?
Say again?
Well, you're not listening.
No one.
No.
Okay, you won't.
I was looking up the story.
Is this a statement on you know, the power of Lionel Messi or how Inter Miami is still just an MLS team that hasn't got that big a following. And when they're playing against teams on tour like Puerto Rico.
Oh, geez. It's yeah, I think it can be two things. You know how Dubs always says, two things can be true. This is a two things can be true time where you need Messi to be touring if it's going to. It's kind of, remember they, where what were they? Wasn't Miami in either India or something? India, and he went and didn't India, play, played for like 5 minutes and they took him off. Riot.
And they got booed.
Crazy.
Yeah, they turned on him. Yeah.
But they tore apart the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I don't think you get passion like that with, to your point, Sharms. It's only that guy, right?
Yep. But and combined with that team.
Yes.
I think if you put Ronaldo on an MLS team, the same thing would probably have happened had he not done the whole Saudi Arabia thing. But at Real Madrid, they tour every summer. He's not playing. They're not rescheduling a match because Ronaldo's not there. Right. You can still watch Karim Benzema and Toni Kroos and Luka Modric, whoever's on that team.
Right.
Yeah.
See, now you're in the good books with the Croatian fans because you said Luka Modric.
Yes. So, well, listen, England's playing Croatia in the World Cup, so
I'm
nice and happy until that happens because that'll be a changing in our relationship.
So I'm still conflicted with how you're going to be conflicted throughout this World Cup. You're going to have to, you know how there's someone who writes diaries out there in the TV world? Mm-hmm. You're going to have to go through the conflict, your diary every day, looking at Canada, looking at England, and how you figure this out. Because this is going to be difficult for you.
But everyone can change, right? And I'm Canada. Now, I love England.
Open-minded.
Yes, imagine that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, for the longest time, it would have been England. But I've been here for long enough now. And I've got a Canadian daughter and a Canadian wife.
And a Canadian accent. Can you do your Canadian accent again, please? It's the worst Canadian accent. It's Canada first,
but what a great fullback option. You know, if England win the World Cup, I will cry like a baby. It'll be one of the greatest days of my life.
We've got to be there, Dubs, to watch him ball.
Probably.
I'd love to watch you cry about a soccer game. Make me really happy.
Last time I cried was when Liverpool won the championship, the first one, of the more recent ones.
I love that.
A little bit. Yeah,
that's great. Joe,
my daughter caught me. She says, what are those things in dad's eyes? He's listening to
that. See, last time I cried, it was because my mother passed away. So there you go. That evens.
You're going to say because you lost your keys.
Tassie goes, how do you stay so calm? I go, I don't know. It's a car. It's keys. They'll figure itself out.
I think, though, if Sharm's pens like a diary during the World Cup, it should be called a D-I-R-E-E diary because it would be his conflict. He's torn between England and Canada. It's a diary.
Yeah. or dowry.
We'll see. Yeah.
Maybe a different side of things. Yeah.
Or doily.
That's right. Yeah.
Do they surely there aren't any more doilies anymore in the world? That's a grandmother thing, isn't it?
Yeah. No, there's for sure like a furniture, like plastic, covered in plastic in somebody's parlor, like someone's grandma's house that also has doilies.
I want to know
We've got millions of doilies at my parents'. Well, it's my house now with my brothers, but the way you don't realize how much stuff gets in people's houses after 25 years.
Oh,
doilies everywhere, little figurines, the amount of ceramic figurines. Go fuck yourself, ceramic figurines.
Yeah, go fuck yourself, Josh.
I will marry you, and then I will fuck you, and then I will break you.
It's a bit like plates, like decorative plates.
Or the spoons.
Or just good china. Who needs good china?
Right. Use the good china. Don't put it in a cabinet.
Yes.
To have it gather dust.
Oh, couldn't agree with you more. Love my grandparents. Love them, but never understood that.
No.
So if you've got a decorative plate in your kitchen or in your, take it down. It's time. Okay.
Yeah. Smash it.
No, if we're moving on from Shakespeare in schools, it's time to move on from doilies and decorative plates. Okay. 2026
If you guys can share, if you're listening, share a modern classic that should be added to curriculum and must read for students that would give people an insight on the world we are today. Can be a lot of things. Can be in the, you know, social sciences, can be a fiction, can be nonfiction, but that would be interesting. I mean, even The Art of the Deal with Donald Trump ends up being because it was ghost written, right? So all of these things are
Richard Bachman.
Stephen King did not write for Donald Trump. I can guarantee you that much.
He didn't, but my point is, these things are written for to show a window of that time, right? That's why Shakespeare is so relevant even today, because character.
Okay. Handmaid's Tale is that one that would.
Oh, that's already there. That's already there. Handmaid's Tale was there back in the day. Yeah.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have any, before we leave, any suggestions? I gave Trainspotting as mine.
Oh, that's good.
I can't think of like any more recently written ones.
It would go down the geekiest of geeks, and I would say force people to read Lord of the Rings. And the reason isn't because of the fantasy and the you know, any of that. It's more about the patience of reading. It's 1,400 pages, small type, and you benefit from the patience of reading and revisiting it. And you say you do it in a month. I mean, I did it in about a week and a half every day on the train. And it gave me that time, but it was time well spent because it taught me another level of patience. And I read the book. I got to say I read the book. Infinite Jest. How about that?
Infinite Jest.
Yeah.
Who's that? Who's that by?
I forget the writer, but I read it when I was traveling, and it's very long and boring, but it's about what it teaches definitely. You.
David Foster Wallace.
Thank you. DF Dubs.
every Harry Potter volume.
Harry Potter wouldn't be bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's messages in there, aren't there?
Sure. Yeah, they're great novels.
Say that person's kids. Name.
Exactly. Yeah. My issue now is with the author and everything that she stands, or I should say, or everything they stand for, just to rile them up.
But it doesn't mean you shouldn't, just because someone has controversial opinions and things, sometimes they're the most fascinating people to read.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I've never read Mein Kampf. But it'll be obviously sobering freaking read, right? But getting inside the mind of a madman.
Well, this goes to the next conversation we could have, which is, you know, do people's, while they're great creatively, do their art stand on their, you know, can art stand on its own and taken away from the individual? Mm-hmm. And just go through authors, go through writers, artists, all that kind of musicians. Like, in 1988, I stopped listening to anything that Michael Jackson does after 88. Right? You're like, because that's when he got all weird. Before that, I can go off the wall, Thriller, the best albums ever. But then you go, I can't really watch.
You also have a painting on your wall by Hitler, one of Hitler's paintings. It's a nice landscape.
His Austrian landscapes, right?
Yes.
Well, to that end about art, and then, you know, the conflation of the people behind the art, and then do you factor that in, and does that affect or mute your enjoyment of said art? Like, we were listening to music in the car going to hockey practice the other day, and Bruno Mars came on, and my daughter looked at me and she said, "Do we like Bruno Mars?" And it was, she loves music, is very like lyrical and musical, more so than anybody else in the family.
But she's also a racist towards Filipino artists.
We had been talking about Kanye West, and we've been talking about, like, just right around Bad Bunny's performance. Mm-hmm. And then also what was happening at the Republican kind of alternative. Well, when are Republicans alternative? But at their, like, alternative party, right? Yeah, and then the people associated with it, like Kid Rock, etc. And so she was curious now about Bruno Mars and his political affiliations. Mm-hmm. And I just thought it was interesting conversation to have with an 11-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
You just need to be informed about where it's from, right? Doesn't necessarily mean it has to affect the way that you consume it or the way that you feel about the product, but you do have a choice.
You do. It's tough. A great song should be a great song, but it's difficult. Gary Glitter has some really catchy tunes. You can't listen to me. You can't. He's like, oh, fuck. No, thank you.
Yeah.
Anyway. I've got to leave and do some push-ups because it's a push-up.
Yeah, me too.
It's a new day.
My car is getting dropped off too. Pardon me. What is our number today? Let me see. Did you look?
No, good question. The push-up challenge.
Pull up the app.
Please feel free to donate.
Oh,
you can find our page on our X feed at the top.
Oh my God. 140 today.
140?
Oh, what?
That's a beaut.
And I still have to catch up from day 2 and 3.
Oi.
Can we have a day off soon again?
Well, it's 140 as a result of the day off.
Oh,
gotta make it up.
Jesus. I mean, I'm getting stronger. I can feel it, but it's not easy.
I love push-ups. Mm-hmm. So good.
And all right. Great terms before you wrap. Just, I know I'm opening a can of worms here, but it ties into our conversation about art and where it's coming from to the Manchester United fans and Sir Jim Ratcliffe. And his statements on the UK being colonized by immigrants, right? Like, how does that affect you as a fan of Manchester United? How do you feel about it?
Well,
our friend Flash Thompson with Newcastle, right?
Well, that, exactly. The whole foreign Saudi ownership or Middle Eastern ownership. Yeah, that we thanks for opening that can of worms, Dubs. It's not going
No, no, but they're in the same family, right? That's the Venn diagram. Football clubs, the Jacksons, and
with Gary Glitter's face in the middle.
That's right.
And the middle, the commonality is smooth criminals.
Nice.
Well, listen, can you use Microsoft products anymore?
Yeah, no kidding. I'm on them right now.
Right. See? You're condoning Bill Gates.
I also have a iPhone 16 Pro that I'm sure one of my relatives made after working 18 hours at a sweatshop. Right.
How far back do you go, right? How many layers do you want to peel away here? We're all fucking assholes.
Yeah.
Doing terrible
things. How about that? We're all fucking assholes. Yes. There's a Venn diagram.
Yeah.
There's only one circle, and it's us three.
Again, the middle is fucking hypocrites.
Exactly. All right. So make sure you like us, retweet and repost all our great content. It'll be on YouTube, podcast platforms. Subscribe to our newsletter. It drops once a week, Fridays or Saturdays. Wonga, you're writing, by the way, this week.
Okay.
It's your turn. Okay. And you can find how to sign up for that on wearefullyprime.com. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for that. We're back tomorrow, I guess, aren't we?
Yeah.
Until then.
We're crushing it this week. I'm proud of you guys. We are crushing it this week. Wow. Cheers for listening.
Check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/footyprime and subscribe. Leave us some comments. We'd love to hear those. And check us out on Instagram at footyprimeig and on Twitter at footy_prime. And check out wearefootyprime.com to sign up for our newsletter.
We're having conversations.